Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's your favorite beverage?
My favorite beverage, what I drink most of is water. And it was sort of nutritionist in grammar school said, would you think about washing your car with soda? And that sort of stuck with me throughout my life. besides water, I have a favorite whiskey called Orphan Barrel, which is an interesting concept. This is they don't distill, but what they do is they find orphan barrels of whiskey in Tennessee and Kentucky. They'll find 4 barrels of this, 2 barrels of that. They'll bottle it. They'll age it for another, say, 15 years. So you really don't know how old it is. And then when that 2 or 4 barrels is gone, it's gone forever. So it's just sort of interesting to keep up with it and find a barrel or find a bottle and the story behind it.
Man, you are speaking my language, man. You got to – what put into your body is what you're going to get, and we're going to go on a journey about that. But you got to have a little fun along the way, and I love trying new things. Awesome stuff, man.
Yeah.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite vacation spots are always going to involve water. The first thing that comes to mind is I spent a couple of weeks on the Amazon River. That was awesome. The Aegean. And then I guess most recently from those two is the upper half of the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon. Spending a week on that river was pretty awesome.
Cool. Give us one story from one of those trips.
All right. It's fishing for piranha in the Amazon was fun. You know, what would you fish with? It's little chunks of beef, of course, but they taste delicious. It tastes just like a brim or another sort of pan fish that you might have fished for in ponds, but they're actually tasty. But yeah, you have to avoid the mouth when you're taking the hook out.
Yeah, did the guide or somebody help you with that?
Yeah. Well, I'm the one that would refuse to let the guide help, but yes, he was helping most people.
Attaboy. Well, what's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena that we like to call the art of construction?
Yeah, I'm a water sports fanatic. I like kayaking, snorkeling, canoeing, fishing. And from Savannah, live in Atlanta, Georgia. So I find myself in Savannah at least once a month. I have an 8-year-old son, and he and I will be in North Georgia or Tennessee, you know, on a river or the same in Savannah at some point throughout the month, just about all year long.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Frank Wickstead. I'm going to read his short bio, and we're going to go on a journey about differentiating yourself today in the peak of the market here. So Frank is a licensed general contractor in Georgia with many accolades and a Building Performance Institute building analysis, proctor trainer, and subject matter expert. Frank has degrees in architectural design and building construction from Georgia Tech and the University of Georgia. He was given the Georgia Institute Technologies Environmental Leadership Award. He was named one of the top 50 remodelers in the country by Remodeler Magazine and named the Earthcraft Contractor of the Year in multiple occasions. Frank currently leads the Project Delivery Group at Jones Pierce, an architecture and client representation firm in Atlanta, Georgia, and an adjunct professor at the Georgia Institute of Technology's College of Design School and Building Construction. Wow, you have definitely lived the art or the training part of construction as well as being in construction. Tell us kind of what your journey and what you're currently doing there with Jones Pierce.
Okay, the journey was from architecture. The intent was always to go design build, work for, you know, had a job for about 2 years out of college before I went it alone. And between architecture and general contracting, I felt a need to sort of learn the business from the ground up. Had always sort of been handy, but hadn't really done anything to this extent. So I partnered with someone that was more hands-on, and we framed for a year for a general contractor and just to learn the industry, meet some subs, and learn the business. And remained with that partner for a few years and started another firm for quite a while. And later was recruited by a consulting firm because of my experience with building performance specifically. So I sort of took a parallel path to the industry for 7 years. worked with a group that led utility sponsored energy efficiency programs. In other words, the rebate programs that are associated with utilities that will incentivize a homeowner to add insulation or to do other improvements to decrease energy use. So that was until about a year ago, and then seeing where the industry stood, decided to jump back in. And I had started teaching at that point and realized that I was a little too far away from my passion with the consulting piece, and decided to jump back in. So when I did so, I approached an architecture firm, which I'd worked with for many, many years, and asked if they wanted to attempt to bolt on a construction component, which is what we've done.
Awesome. So as we get to know each other, Tribe, when we're having these fireside chats, we have these pre-programmed kind of where we get to know each other and what we really want to talk about to add value, because this is all about contractors and their affiliates to grow your business. So the premise of today is what we want to talk about is differentiating yourself at the peak of the market. And that really hit me between the eyes when Frank and I were discussing earlier, and he said, that's really what I, and I'm like, that is so awesome to talk about the downturn of the market when everything's are so rosy right now. And so that's kind of where we want to go with that. And as I've lived and done over 100 of these conversations, if we bring out crusty contractor, crusty supplier, crusty architect, it's easy to play the blame game in the construction arena instead of getting in the collaboration world of the art side. The architect creates that. The architect has the eye for construction. So it's that art side, and then there's the execution. So, Frank, can you elaborate a little bit on that as the intro and kind of going down this journey in this crazy hot market that you've been through the peaks and valleys?
Yeah, it's an acknowledgement when I jump back into the market of how much things had changed, and seeing contractors and GCs that I thought of as top-notch had significantly dumbed down their product just because, you know, the marketing strategy in today's market is return a phone call and finish the project, and that's about all you have to do to sell. The thought of, as I'm beginning a company in this market, this new iteration being about a year old, what do we need to do now to, sort of the company mantra has been differentiating yourself in a market that doesn't require it, because I feel that way. It isn't a market that requires any sort of differentiation. But again, we're at the peak of a market. So what steps can you take to differentiate? How long does it take? And how might you do so? And taking the time to do so in a genuine way.
And I loved you where you said, in a market like this, where it's a matter of returning the phone call. And I actually run a group called the WDOC that's specifically designed for, stands for Window Dealer Owner Council. And the topic actually that this next monthly workshop is about the phone system is kind of the title of it. And I called it the phone system is because people still think of the phone when really that's all been intermingled with technology, as far as everybody's phone system is their smartphone that is really a computer that has an app on it. And why I bring that up is because it's so hard to use so many different things, but don't forget the fact that don't let your voicemail be full and call somebody back. It's really that simple in today's world, but it's not going to be that simple when the market turns, right? How do you keep the phone ringing then and now, right?
Right. So it's differentiating business processes, like what is the sales process? What happens, 24 hours after you get that initial lead? And it's starting, and we're blessed with this market now in that we can try to develop best practices to see what works within our own region or market share. And so that once we really need those procedures to close a deal, they'll be in place.
So where I want to go with this next is that I really appreciate you, Frank, coming on the Art of Construction before everything is signed, sealed, and delivered. Because correct me if I'm wrong, you're kind of looking at the first of the year of kind of kicking off 2019 as the official launch. But you're coming in and having this chat because you learn by doing. And I think we'll all learn a little bit more by doing together. So I'm curious, when you went from being a college professor and going back to following your passion of construction, when you decided Jones Pierce was going to be kind of this design build firm, what was kind of the first discussions like when you laid out this groundwork?
in the discussions with Brian Jones, my partner with that firm, it was about what we had always sort of connected on, which was project delivery. We had always leaned more towards the service side of the industry as opposed to the product, in that we would go for a custom project as opposed to specs, because in our own philosophy about architecture and construction, it's easier to sell to a custom buyer than to try to build a quality product speculatively, which is very difficult even in today's market. So it was starting from that place of how do you deliver a sustainable product with top-notch detailing reasonably, and then how can you continue to do so in any market? The sort of surprise jumping back into the market after being out for 7 or 8 years is the new sort of barrier to success, which is, you know, subcontractor and vendor availability. And, you know, the way we've remedied that, or we're playing around with remedying that, is we pay faster than everybody else, you know. So if we can pay our subcontractors and vendors within 3 to 7 days as opposed to 2 weeks to a month, then, you know, we get the first drop from the material vendors, and we get, you know, subcontractors show up on our sites at 7 a.m. on Monday.
I love it. So you're saying your kind of foundation is all about the product delivery. And we always saying on The Art of Construction is begin with the end in mind, as making someone's house a home. But you're really connecting with the people to say, I'm working in a pre-sold version of beginning with the end in mind versus a speculatory build that you're trying to appease the masses. Is that kind of a fair foundation that we're building from here?
It is. Yes.
And so then you talked about top-notch detailing, and the word that comes up every time is that on the crusty side, it's the whole value engineering, which is everybody just cringes. But I just say value, period, you know, because you say that value, it's like this jaded thing about just cutting off all the budget line items, because to have top-notch detailing comes with the best subs to be top-notch, right? And cash is king at the end of the day. So I'm curious, you mentioned the word vendors and suppliers. What is the challenge there, and what can you expound on that a little bit?
With distributors specifically, it's about, you know, am I going to get the first drop? You know, when I need a framing package delivered on Wednesday, is it going to arrive at 7 a.m. or 2 p.m.? And it's also negotiating discounts for paying quickly. So it's being able to deliver a top-notch product and then getting clever about other means of income. And then with that project quality, when it comes to I put a lot of time and energy into manufacturer alignment so that I can make sure that items do not get value engineered out. There are specific vendors that I will go to and say, I'd like to sell your systems exclusively, but I, you know, one is a HVAC manufacturer that sells VRF or mini split technology, which to me is the best product on the market in the HVAC world. And, but you know, it's considerably, it can cost more than conventional system. So I've worked out with this manufacturer that we get our systems at about 30% off, push through the distributor, pass along the savings so that I don't have to have that argument with the client about why are we putting in this really nice HVAC system. I'm trying to, you know, dumb down their finishes.
I love that. And it comes back to partnerships, right? So you got to partner when times are really good and when times are really bad, and understanding that value, because we all have to make it work, right? And beginning with the end in mind to craft that. So, you know, I own a window and door company day-to-day that we have what we call the Experience Center. And it's not just about the product we sell. It's about this community at our different locations, about all aligning with the projects properly and listening and helping, because there's so many decisions and the critical path can really get challenging, right? And you have a big one up because you have an architect firm and you're the builder thinking about these homeowners that is going to make their house a home. So I think that's a great model. Anything else you would kind of talk about how you're building out the foundation for success on your business?
It's all about where am I going to put budget that's going to, what are the implications of installing that good infrastructure, whether it be from paying attention to energy use, water use, maintenance, indoor air quality. And it all trickles down to warranty concerns, because when I build a home that addresses all of those concerns, I'm not going to get callbacks. So I get to walk away from a project clean and have clients that are going to refer me.
You mean it costs more money when you have to go back to the job?
Believe it or not, it does.
And that's that whole phrase that we're always talking about, begin with the end in mind. The end is not when you get the deposit. The end is not when you've appeased your one-year warranty, how a lot of people think. The end is 20 years from now when these people that you built a home for are still members of your tribe promoting, you know, Jones Pierce, or is it going to have a separate name for your firm?
It's Jones Pierce Architects and Jones Pierce Structures is what we came up with. But
oh, cool.
Yeah.
So Jones Pierce Architects and Structures.
That's right.
So could you give us, for our listening audience, that, you know, it's a hot button deal is where a lot of people are trying to put things together of one or the other or both or this or that. Is there any kind of pitfalls that you've seen from going down this journey to this point, both pitfalls or things that have been aha moments that by collaboration with the architects and the structures component?
I guess the little bit of ebb flow that has occurred so far is, I think the inherent sense of urgency associated with construction. I think those of us in this side of the world on the construction side are always, okay, how what is it going to take to get to that start? How are we going to get that deposit? How are we going to get this thing rolling? And in the world of architecture, you don't want to rush the design process. You know, is it perfect? Having that project architect that sounds negative, but won't leave well enough alone, wants every detail perfect. So that has been the rub so far, is let's rethink that set of construction documents, because, you know, I think everyone in your listening audience knows that in the residential world, the set of drawings that you're going to have produced is going to be a pricing or permit set at best. It's not a complete set of construction documents as you might think of in the commercial world. And I think that hurts us. You know, that's where the detailing is lost, is in sort of a sloppy set of plans and the typical arrangement, which is that baton pass of the set of plans from design to construction. So we're trying to find that happy medium of being able to fast track the design process to get to construction without compromising the detailing, so that you can sort of have a cleaner break between design and construction.
Yeah, that's definitely the, you know, that set of plans of passing the baton is a great analogy of where it can really get detailed, because the devil's in the details, right? So it's how far do you detail it on paper? But at the end of the day, we learn by doing, you know, and so the structure component, you know, that eye of the architect, they have to have that eye, but they have to put that eye into the plans close enough to where the structure team can facilitate that, right? Because two things we don't have enough of is time and money. At some point, you have to stop, you know, a lot of amazing architects are awesome analytical minds. So they're going to keep detailing that. And a lot of the construction field are much more expressive or drivers or GSD, get stuff done type people. Yeah. How do you blend that together to the plans? And my suggestion, Tribe, is that's where technology is the key to the future. And that's where the two platforms that we're really putting a lot of emphasis on is people and technology. Those two things of every business, of every platform, is what drives it all together. So look at a service like Bluebeam that can help digitally communicate those different plans between the architect and the structure. Have you guys talked about any software or technologies to help with that?
We have, and specifically, I don't know that I should mention product, but really happy with BuilderTrend.
Okay.
It's a product that we've adopted. It, you know, takes you from sort of a sales module that's and the traditional sales module software. It's the name of it's escaping me, but it's, you know, a typical sort of lead tracking into quotes, into project management, scheduling, and project finance. It speaks to QuickBooks. It has a great interface with the client where we can upload a daily log. They can see a live schedule, and we use that. We can have a daily log that we can have internally or externally or both. So we can take a snapshot. We can draw on that photo on our phone. We can upload it and say, what are we doing here? And we can send that to the project architect. So I couldn't agree with you more that in today's world of, you know, we are the hands-on, right, in construction. But to sort of deny that technology has a place in our industry is foolish. Clients love being able to, you know, they get a little notification that a daily log has been uploaded. you know, try to make the photos interesting with smiling subcontractors, and not just about the home, but about the team and how we're treating their home. And people love it.
But I think we just hit the overarching thing of that whole deal, is that there's this thing that changed the world called the internet. And then there's this company that changed how the internet worked, and it's called Amazon. And then there's this new generation of people that have lived with their thumbs on social media and buying all their stuff through Amazon. So they're the, you know, they are the ones coming up that are, that you're going to be working with. So you have to adapt to that, because construction is still done very differently. So if you can be a quote unquote smart home builder and innovative builder, and if you ask 10 contractors, what, define to me innovation and define to me smart home, you're going to get 10 different things. And that's the part, the world where we're living in right now. When I listen to people like you that have been a teacher, I've been a student here at the Art of Construction, all of us coming together, it's blending those things to manage the fact that we're so busy, we can't even answer our phone, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah. And that's exactly it. You're not going to sell yourself or differentiate yourself as a high tech, innovative GC and hand someone a paper document.
Yeah. We actually just had a meeting this morning, and it was about, at our experience centers, is that we made the call to where we're going to be putting in iPads at the front to where you put your information. And there's definitely different schools of thought, is that someone is not going to want to put that information in. They want to just write it on a piece of paper. But we want to showcase that we're innovative, and we don't want to just do it the same old way. But now, never losing touch of that handshake, you still have to have somebody that's there to meet and greet and make them feel comfortable. I think that's the key of blending the art of construction, is the art is the technology and molding it into 21st century techniques, but the construction is still get her done with using those techniques. Is that the foundation, kind of how you guys are thinking?
Yes, and experience the same thing that you may be concerned about, which was being too reliant on the technology and thinking that an uploaded daily log and updated schedule will substitute interaction with a good superintendent or project manager. And that was another sort of aha moment along the way, is that we can't depend 100% on the technology, that it's still a very, you know, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy of need, home is right there at the base. So when you are working on someone's home or building someone's home, you have to have human interaction in order to maintain that trust.
So the last question I'm going to ask you is, so you just nailed it, is that we're all about the next wave, the project managers, the, you know, your lieutenants for Jones Pierce, whether they're an architect behind the computer or a project manager out on the job site. How do you get and train those people?
It's something else we're going through right now. As I said, you know, we want to launch January 1st. So it really is a time of research. And so one person on the team is 65 years old, superintendent, who is that old school, been there, done that, knows what to look for type of an individual. The other one is a young woman, 22 years old, that is just getting a degree, has absolutely no in the field experience in the residential world, and she's gone the academic route. I think a wonderful team is being able to incorporate both and allowing both to learn from one another. Having the 22-year-old that doesn't see the value of human interaction, or seeing the old school guy that doesn't see the value in technology, does not work for us. So it's finding people that are passionate about what they do but are still willing to learn.
I love it. So the people that see the value of understanding both sides of the fence, whether you're on the analog side or the digital side, is to teach each other. That's the key to get your company to get through in good times, but when the market turns, to still maintain on the downturn. Is that safe to say?
That's absolutely right.
Thank you so much for coming in and telling us your story. We'd love to talk to you again and stay in touch with you and see how this journey goes. Make sure you know, we all work together in the world of noise with social media to all work together to know when you're launching this and see how things are going. And that's what this is all about, is connecting all of us together in the art of construction. If there's one thing you want the tribe to hear to grow their business, send us out with that one thing to go out and crush it.
I guess I'd say we will not remain at the peak of a market. Spend time educating and setting the stage for differentiation now. Once you need to be special, it may just be too late to do so. So take the time to learn, earn the credentials, the certifications, so that when your product needs to be special, it can be.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story, Frank.
You got it, Devin. I appreciate the platform.